Good morning again. Good morning, good morning. It was funny because this morning at the early service, everybody was so quiet. And I said, I blame the dark clouds outside. We're so not used to the dark clouds that everybody was a little sleepy. So welcome and glad you're here today. I wanted to do a little sort of informal survey and answer honestly, because there's no testing, there's no points in heaven, there's no qualification here. How many of us, raise of hands, feel, or if you feel half comfortable, raise halfway. How many of us feel comfortable with prayer? Okay, some of us are half, some of us are down, some of us are not at all. So some of us feel comfortable with prayer, some of us not so much. Who feels like you know how to pray, like you feel confident, like you're going to go into prayer and you know what you're doing? Maybe a few less. Maybe, yeah, we're sort of half there, yeah. Now, who feels like when you pray, you get what you ask for? We had a couple people this morning who actually raised their hand. Oh, I see one hand in the back halfway. Wow, interesting. All right. So, it's a different question, sort of having to do with prayer, but also just in your life in general. Who feels like you know how to ask for what you want? Don't be embarrassed. It's all good. It's good to know what you ask, to be able to ask for what you want. It's hard to ask for what you want. I come from a Scandinavian family, and we would rather talk circles around what we wanted than just go right to it. Well, I moved to Boston, and I needed to learn how to go right to asking for what I wanted, or I had absolutely no respect. Prayer is tricky and it's complicated. It's all about a relationship and a direct relationship with God. And some of us feel more comfortable with it than others. We have a lot of texts in Scripture that talk about prayer, that instruct us to pray. And when I think about teaching people how to pray, I don't typically think about this text that we got for this morning from Luke. I go to the other ones, you know, like the Lord's Prayer and Jesus asking the disciples to pray and they fall asleep and like the things you shouldn't do. Those are the things that I go to in Scripture. But this morning, we have this text from Luke. And in it, it says, the very first verse, it says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Well, I think if there wasn't that little disclaimer, people wouldn't know it's actually about prayer, because it's a strange story. In the earlier service, people actually giggled during the passage because it's so strange. And I heard a couple of you giggling as well. I think, though, that this is truly a very poignant an important passage about prayer. I think according to this passage, we can understand that we are supposed to make pests of ourselves in hopes that God will respond to us, if only to make us be quiet. In Luke's gospel, this parable of how to pray with the unjust judge and the widow, it follows a really scary story. Jesus says, I tell you, on the night there will be two in bed, one will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together, one will be taken and the other will be left. It's this horrible apocalyptic stuff that most of the time I read it and I don't even know what to do with it. Because I'm like, really? I can just hear the disciples thinking, do I want to be left? Do I want to be taken? Where are we being taken? It's a scary passage. In fact, they say to Jesus, well, where, Lord? And then he says to them, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Thank you, Jesus. How horrible is that? It's almost like for this passage, he takes a breath. He takes a little breather and he says, oh, right. They don't want to believe in just a God who is unpredictable as that. So he softens a little bit and continues with the parable of the unjust judge, which I think is a clue that he's not talking about a typical kind of prayer. I have to admit, I think I'm really glad that there's other passages throughout Scripture that talk about prayer, because if this is the only one I had, I don't think I would like to pray. Because it's not also a very good metaphor. If we think of God being in this passage as the unjust judge, that just doesn't work for me. It's not the kind of God I want to believe in or pray to. And yet it's the story that Jesus uses. Prayer in itself is complicated and it's difficult, and yet can be so simple. Because I think Jesus is saying that relationship with God is the key. And it's more than just the sort of like spooky idea of being snatched out of our bed at night, being taken away from our work and carried away into the unknown. I think he's saying the relationship with God through prayer is more of a begging and a pleading with God to be present and to rain down justice and compassion right now. Right now for the widow and right now for us. Not to do it later, but in the moment. So it seems that things were not going very well for the disciples in their whole journey. I mean, he had to talk about prayer a lot, and then he's also talking about these apocalyptic things that are scary. And I think also the disciples wanted God to make clear to everyone that Jesus was who they thought he was. And instead, there's warrants out for Jesus' arrest, and everything was really going down south. It's not at all what they expected. So come back to the story for today. I don't think Luke doesn't say that the widow's complaint was just about complaining. But we also don't get a description of what she's complaining about. But I think we could surmise that it's probably about wanting some of her estate. She's a widow. She has no protection. She has no money. I would assume it has to do with her dead husband's estate and her safety and her livelihood and her future for as long as she's able to live. So since the estate would probably, if not most certainly, go directly to her sons, I'm guessing she's coming to the judge and saying, "Give me some of that. I need safety. I need protection. I need money to live." So she seems pretty darn capable of taking care of herself. I love stories in Scripture of confident and strong women, and this is one of them. It's not one that we go to very often, but it's a little like she's giving this unjust judge a 1-2 punch. In the Greek translation, as a matter of fact, the words that are translated have to do with boxing. The judge says, and if you were to translate a little bit more exact to the Greek, it says, "I want to grant her justice so that she may not wear me out with continued blows under the eye." The woman found herself alone without anyone to help her, and she didn't lose heart. She knew what she wanted, and she knew who could give it to her. And of course, she couldn't make the judge do what she wanted, but she could really work hard. It's a little bit like being persistent in asking for what you want, not just to try to convince someone, but so that you can convince yourself, remember yourself, who you are and what you want and where you come from. You know, when you stand firm in something you believe in, it's almost being confident in who you are. And I also assume that coming to that judge and asking and proclaiming and begging is a bit of a freedom, if not a huge source of freedom for her. For she is able to wash off the shame of being a widow. She's able to let go of those sort of cultural bonds that tell her to stay quiet. And she says exactly what she wants, over and over and over again, until it happens. Well, if this is a parable about prayer, we can be certain that it's tricky and difficult. I think that most of us, we set aside time for prayer. If we feel comfortable with it, it becomes sort of rote and routine, and it's a little like brushing our teeth. We do it in the teeth. We do it in the morning. We do it in the evening. And we just kind of do it regularly throughout our lives that way. But perhaps we don't pray because we don't want to ask God directly for what we want. I don't know about you, but my Scandinavian blood makes me nuance things and ask around the topic and make sure it's okay, God, if you do something different, because I would follow your lead anyway and you're wonderful. And it's like, I just want to come to the point. But it's hard to do so at times. Perhaps we don't pray very directly because we feel like our words are inadequate or just not good enough for God. But this persistent widow, she knew that the most important time to pray is when her prayers seemed inadequate and meaningless. If you don't throw a few punches at the judge, what else are you going to do? Go home, cover your head with your blankets, and grab your box of Kleenex and stay in bed, doing nothing to care for yourself? Well, sometimes getting all up in arms and getting a fire in our belly and going directly to the source is what we can do. For prayer, I think, is really about keeping our hearts and our lives chasing after God's heart. So if we bother God, God will bother us. And it'll be this sort of two-way conversation. So when you feel most inadequate, when you feel most uncertain and not like you are able to pray, trust in the process of prayer. Remember the widow. Use the words that you have, whether they feel adequate or not. Because God's desires are yours and your desires are oftentimes God's. God just wants you. He doesn't want perfect words or perfect prayers or perfect posture even in a prayer. All God desires is to have you and your relationship with God. Amen.